We're going to continue in the
Advent season with the birth of Jesus Christ. And we've spoken of why we give thanks. The basis of our thanksgiving is the goodness of God and what He has done. Who He is. And if He has never done anything for us, that He is still deserving of all honor and worship and praise. Because He is God Almighty. He is Yahweh Elohim. He is the ever-present, self-existent God. And this God that we serve is good and is deserving of thanks. And that one of the sins that Paul outlines in Romans chapter 1 that we often forget and that we have pointed out and brought to remembrance here is that though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God, which we know that that is a sin, is not to honor God for who He is. But Paul continues and says, they did not give thanks. We as sinners often forget who we are, where we come from, and why we should give thanks. And we then spoke of why we need a Redeemer. That through the fall of man and Adam's sin, all of his posterity was plunged into this misery that we find ourselves in. And that Paul speaks in Romans 5 that through the disobedience of one, the many were made sinners. And that through the transgression of that one, condemnation came upon all. That we are born into sin, unable to please God, for those who are in the flesh cannot please God. That we are lost and undone. That we have no merit in ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. And that from the time of the fall, God, in His goodness and in His mercy, clothed their nakedness when they had failed to be able to do so. They took leaves and tried to hide their sin and shame. And God took an innocent animal and made clothes for them to cover their shame. And God gave us a promise at that time that there would be a Redeemer. That this serpent who had deceived Eve and who had been one of the causes of Adam to fall, that this one born of the woman, her offspring, that there would be enmity, there would be warfare, strife between her offspring and the offspring of the serpent. And though the serpent's offspring and he would bruise the heel of this Redeemer would crush the serpent's head. And Eve took this promise to heart. Both her and Adam, when her first son was born after the fall, she said, "Look, I have gotten a son from the Lord." Amen. They took the promise to heart. Now she evidently would have been greatly disappointed in her firstborn. He did not turn out the way that she had planned. But they were looking for this promised Redeemer from the very beginning. But God, in His wisdom, knew the exact moment in time, both chronologically, as
My wife and I were looking at it this morning. And in the story of redemption, when this Redeemer should come. Paul tells us in Galatians that in the fullness of time, Jesus was born of a woman under the law. He was not late. He was not early. He came just when he was supposed to. And we look back to the Old Testament and trying to prepare for this, there are a multitude of promises and prophecies that we could look at. We're going to pick just a few of them today that speaks of this Redeemer that will come and the promises given about him and who he would be. One of the first promises after the fall was given to Abraham. And if we turn to Genesis chapter 12, we all know the story of Abraham, how he was called out of Ur of the Chaldees, out of the land of his fathers, and he was told to go to a land that God would show him. He was not told much about it. He was not told how this would happen. He was just told to go. And God told Abraham this. He says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. All the nations, all the peoples will be blessed because of faithful Abraham. And we learn in the New Testament that Abraham received these promises before circumcision so that he could be the father of all the faithful, both those who are circumcised and those who are uncircumcised. Paul goes to great length to demonstrate this in the book of Romans and also in Galatians. For we learn in Galatians that all those who are of the faith of Abraham are the offspring of Abraham. That we are heirs with Christ. And if we are heirs, we are offspring. We are the seed of Abraham. And in him we are blessed. Now this would have been a great controversy to many of the Hebrews and the Israelites, and later as we would name them the Jews. But they wanted to keep their faith to themselves. They often limited who would and could hear the good news that there was a Redeemer and that he was coming. Now it is true that this Redeemer was to come through Abraham and through his descendants. That he was and is by ethnicity a Jew. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is a Jew. And there is no scriptural foundation for anti-Semitism. Now we should stand against the notion that Judaism, as it is today, is a godly religion. It is not. Judaism today is not biblical Judaism. It is not the faith of Abraham. We learn in 1 John that if you deny the Son, you don't have the Father. That is a simple fact. And if you are a Christian, and you, we can't deny that. But we also know that to the Jews were given the covenants and the promise. And that through them, Messiah, according to the flesh, was to come. And God here in the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, God says, I will bless all nations, all families of the earth through you. Now, how that blessing was to take place and how it was to come about was a mystery. It was a mystery for decades, for centuries and millennia. It was not fully revealed in the Old Testament, but it was talked about. It was pointed to that this Messiah that was to come was not only a Jewish Messiah, that he was to be a blessing to everyone. Now, we also know that prior to this promise given to Abraham, the reason that we have an Ur of the Chaldees was because of the Tower of Babel. Why was there an Ur of the Chaldees? Because man, in his sinfulness, decided to not spread out the way that God had said, not to repopulate the earth as God had commanded after the flood. And they congregated in the plains of Shinar. And they began to build this tower, this ziggurat, this fake mountain that would reach up to the heavens. Now, we do not have to be foolish in our interpretation of the Tower of Babel. The ancients were not stupid people. They did not actually believe they were building a tower that would reach heaven or to the highest of heaven. They were building a mountain which was a symbol of the gods, and upon the top of these ziggurats were places of worship. They were building a place under their own power, under their own strength, in an effort to bypass the God of creation and to worship false gods and to continually try to do what Satan had failed to do and to dethrone Yahweh from his place. Mountains in the Old Testament are often associated with kingdoms. Satan's first sin, according to his pride, was he was going to ascend to the mountain of God. And that's what our forebears at the Tower of Babel were trying to do. They were wanting to displace God. And God scattered them. And he confused their languages. And he divided the nations and he set them in their place. And he gave up the entirety of the world to these gods that they wished to worship. God said that if you want to have it this way, you can have it your way. You can go where you want in your worship, and you are responsible for it. And God said that he took Israel as his own, that Israel, that would be. Now, there was no nation of Israel at the Tower of Babel, but God claimed what would be Israel for his own. And God said that it is through these people that I will enact and fulfill and bring to fruition my plan of redemption. We know this because Paul tells us that the gospel was preached to Abraham beforehand. The gospel was present in the Old Testament, and it was preached to the Old Testament saints. And Abraham believed this gospel, and what was it? That there was a Redeemer coming that would be a blessing to all the nations. And that God, through this Redeemer, was regathering the peoples of the world. Because there was a distinction made and made by God himself between the Gentiles and the Jews. God separated Abraham from everyone else. And he made a covenant with Abraham. And he said, you are going to be the people that my Redeemer comes from. And God continued his promise to Abraham. And he said, you're going to have a lot of descendants. They're going to be as the stars in heaven. They're going to be as the sands of the sea. They are going to be without number. And I believe that according to the biblical testimony, that everyone who has the faith of Abraham is a son of Abraham, and that we are his descendants, and that we inherit the promises given to Abraham by faith, and that God, according to his word in Ephesians chapter 2, he said this, and we must remember that we as Gentiles, if you are not physically descended from Abraham, you had no hope. We had no hope in this world. If you don't believe me, this is what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2. Remember, therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one. It is through Jesus Christ that Jew and Gentile are brought back together. And he has broken down the middle wall of separation. In some translations, it'll call it the dividing wall of hostility. It says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. God, through this baby that was born in Bethlehem, is bringing all of his people back together. This is not universalism. Do not confuse the false doctrine that God saves everyone with the doctrine that God is saving his people and uniting them together in Christ. For what does it say here? That if you are without Christ, you are at an enmity with God. It took the birth of that little baby to bring us back together. It took the work of Jesus Christ, who in eternity past was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it said, and the Word took on flesh and tabernacled. He dwelt among us. Because if we're going to honor that baby, we must know who that baby is. His flesh came into existence at a point in time, in chronological time. In eternity past, he did not have flesh. But he was born of a virgin in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, we have one of the favorite Christmas promises and prophecies given to us. And I'll begin in verse 1, which we don't often do. It says, but there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Who is that light? It is the Son of God who came into the world. John chapter 1, it says, he is the light of the world. And in him was the life of men. Those of us who were separated from God and without Christ and hope in this world, we have seen a great light. And those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil, for the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder. The rod of his oppressor you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of his peace there will be no end. And on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness. From this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. From what time was this to occur? It was from the time when that baby was born of his mother in Bethlehem.
The city of bread. The city of David. What more fitting place would the bread of life have to come upon the scene of human history than in the city of bread? The bread that gives us life and sustains us, who nourishes our souls, was born in the town of David. And what does this passage here say of this child? It says a child is born. A young infant was born. It was begotten in the way of nature. Our Redeemer had needs to be born as a man. It was man that fell in the garden, and it was man that must satisfy the curse and fulfill the law on our behalf. Hebrews, one of the most forgotten books of the New Testament, says this over and over and over. It says he basically took on flesh so that he could taste death for all men. And it goes on to describe the all man. It's the many sons that he is bringing to glory. And those who are being sanctified through his intercessory work. In Hebrews chapter 2, I believe it says, he took on flesh so that he could be partakers with his brethren. Our Redeemer must be born of the flesh, of the seed of David. He would sit on his father's David throne forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. And his government would increase. When did this begin? From this time forth and forevermore. Our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, sits upon his throne and he reigns forever. 1 Corinthians 15 says, he is ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he must reign until he puts all his enemies under his feet, and the last enemy to be defeated is death. He reigns now. And to sit upon the throne, he must be born as a man from his mother. And in the next couple weeks, we are going to go over some of the genealogies that detail the line of David from which he came. But here, we know that a child is born and to us a son is given. I believe that there can be a very strong case made from this text that this is the one and the same person, but two aspects of his nature. That the son given already existed, and that he was placed where he needed to be. We can look very quickly, if I can find it quickly, which sometimes I cannot. Psalm chapter 2. It says, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. And he who sits in the heavens laughs, and the Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. And I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. This son that was set upon the throne is the Lord. He is the son of the Father. And he reigns. But he had need to be born in Bethlehem. Why Bethlehem? Because God prophesied it. He foretold it. In Micah, he said, oh, Bethlehem Ephrata, though you are tiny, you are some of the smallest among Judea. From you shall come him who is from everlasting. The bread of life came from the city of David and the city of bread. And the Son was given. And this child was born. And God continued his promise and fleshing out who this Redeemer would be. Not only would he come from Abraham, but he would come from a specific descendant of Abraham. He would come from the tribe of Judah. In Genesis 49:8, it says, Judah, you are he whom your brothers shall praise. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's children shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He bows down, he lies down as a lion. And as a lion, who shall rouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes. And to him shall be the obedience of the people. There was one coming from Judah that was prophesied in the book of the beginnings that Judah would reign until Shiloh comes. And to this one who would come would be the obedience of the people. All the people that God calls to himself. And God further narrows it down. In Isaiah 11:1, and there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. This Jewish Messiah who was born of the house of David, of the tribe of Judah, who is called Shiloh,
the Gentiles shall seek him. This promised blessing that was given to Abraham. Praise be to God according to his glorious grace that we were not left in darkness, but a great light has shone upon us, and the Gentiles shall seek him. You who were no people have now been called the people of God. Amen. Romans chapter 9, beginning in verse 24 or so. And it says, God is showing mercy to all those he has chosen to show mercy to. And he says, not of the Jews only, but of the Gentiles also. All those whom the Lord shall call. And then Paul goes on to quote the prophet Hosea. Now, which Jew at the time of the prophet Hosea would think that that prophecy would be given to the Gentiles? But Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says this is applicable to the Gentiles. In Romans chapter 9. It says, in order to make known the riches of his glory for vessels of mercy, which he has prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom he has called, not from the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles. As indeed he says in Hosea, those who were not my people, I will call my people. And her who was not beloved, I will call beloved. And in the very place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they will be called sons of the living God. We who were not a people, who were without Christ and without hope and without God in this world, when God called us and set his faith, his seal of grace upon us, and we received this gift through faith, we are now called sons of the living God. And this Old Testament promise that was given through the prophet Hosea to the people of Israel, the people of Israel who at the time of Hosea were all but apostate, idolaters, falling away, worshiping false gods. He said, I will call you my people. And this promise is given to us Gentiles. And they who were not my people, I will call my people. How are we called the people of God? Through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That branch that came forth from the root of Jesse. That branch who grew up and judges with righteousness. And who rules with a rod of iron. That is the baby that grew into a man. That is the baby who was born according to the flesh after his father David, but was called and reckoned and proven to be the Son of God through the resurrection. Romans chapter 1. God continues in Isaiah in chapter 42, verse 5. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it, and spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, to those who sit in darkness from the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name. And my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. This little baby that was born in Bethlehem is at the same time both fully, truly human, and truly divine. He is the I Am. Don't get caught up with your cute and sometimes even beautiful nativity scenes that has this little baby laying in a manger. That was and is the God of the universe wrapped in flesh. That is the Word who condescended and took on the form of a servant and dwelt among a sinful people. That is the promised Redeemer who would bless all the ethnicities of the earth. That is the one through whom the power of His Word holds every molecule in this universe together. That is the one who existed from before time began. He is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the fire that led the Israelites by night, and He is the cloud that led them by day. He is the rock that followed the Israelites through the wilderness and who gave them living water. And you know that that water flowed from this rock. And this rock was Christ Jesus. He is both the mercy seat that was found in the temple, and even the sacrifice that prefigured His, the blood that was placed upon the mercy seat. He is Shiloh. He is the bright and morning star, the lily of the valley. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the great I Am. He is the hope and consolation of Israel. He is the light given to the Gentiles. This little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes spoke the world into existence. And it is by Him and for Him that all things were created and that they exist. This is the baby that was born. This is the Redeemer that was promised, that we don't deserve, that we tried to kill, that we overlook and abuse and misuse. And we try to hide a great light. And Paul continues in Ephesians chapter 2. We
when he said that you were without hope, but God has brought you together through the body of Jesus Christ, making one new man out of the two. And it says, and he came and preached peace to you who were once far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, because of what Christ has accomplished, because of the promise made by God who cannot lie, so then, because we have been made one new man out of the two, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens. That is Old Testament language that described those who were outside the covenant people of Israel. And that many of them would sojourn within the nation of Israel. But they were never truly part of that covenant people. And he says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints. Who are we fellow citizens with? The people of God. Who would have been the people of God before the Gentiles were brought in? Israel. We are fellow citizens with these saints and members of the household of God. Think about that. We who are dirty and covered in filth, ruined and wrecked by our sin, we are now citizens in the kingdom. And we have been brought into the house of God. And we are clothed with His righteousness. And we are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In Him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. We who had no hope, who were outside the covenants and promises of God, have been brought near by this Redeemer that was promised. I cannot emphasize it enough. We do not deserve the grace and mercy of God. But God, from the very fall of man, has promised to redeem a people to Himself. And He promised our Redeemer. And this is the mystery, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs. God came and saved His people Israel. And though we know that not all Israel is Israel, He saved His people. And we Gentiles are now called by God our fellow citizens, and are the people of God and fellow heirs. And it was all through this little babe, the promised Messiah, the one who would grow in wisdom and knowledge and favor with God and man. this one who came to fulfill the law, this one who went to a sinner's cross and bled and died for the sins of his people. And who rose again the third day for their justification. God in times past winked at, he looked over the sins that were committed, knowing what Christ would fulfill. And he has appointed a time and a day that he is going to judge the world according to Jesus Christ. There are two sets of people, those in Adam and those in Christ, those who believe and those who do not believe. If you are outside of Christ, you will be judged a sinner and condemned and cast out into outer darkness, where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And God commands all men everywhere to repent and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have heard this word today, do not harden your heart as in the day of provocation, speaking of the Israelites in the wilderness. Do not harden your hearts. But come to him. Seek him while he may be found. Call on the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. He is the only way to the Father. And we will close with this, that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. He gave up the glories of heaven to become a servant. And now, he sits upon the throne at the right hand of the Father. And there is coming a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Bend your knee to him today and receive the forgiveness of your sins. Let us pray.